Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 352 of the podcast. It's Saturday, 9th of December, 2017, as I record this. Today, I'm talking with Andy Bromley and Ruth Jones from Ingram Spark, and we're talking about how to sell more books in print and how you can use Aereo, a new online tool to set up your own bookstore, which is very exciting. And in 2017, print has been a big expansion for me, so I'll be continuing that in 2018. And hopefully this is an interesting chat for you if you're looking to expand your print distribution beyond just CreateSpace. I think there's lots of exciting things happening with print, and we really almost, obviously we don't have easy access into bookstores, but Ingram Spark certainly makes it easier. So in publishing this week, probably the biggest thing that I think is big news anyway is amazon.com.au, the Australian Amazon store, is now selling physical product, including print books. Now, I lived in Australia for 5 years, and the reason I sort of converted to Kindle so early is because the Australian print books are so expensive. I mean, really, they're about 5 times more expensive than a book in the UK, and at least 3 times more expensive than the US. And so as an avid reader, when I was living in Australia, I had a good job, but even though, you know, I had a good job, I was still paying like $30 for a book, and I would only buy maybe 2 a week. And then ebooks arrived in, must have been 2009, 2010, when the international Kindle went wide. And I literally started reading 5 times as many books because the price was tiny compared to what it was. That was basically how I became hooked on ebooks, because as what they call whale readers now, which I don't understand that term, but a whale reader is apparently someone who just reads all the time and reads tons and tons of books. And that is me. I buy a lot of books and read a lot of books. And so for me in Australia, that move to Kindle was a huge shift. Now, I think that what's going to happen is a huge shakeup, because of course, we want independent bookstores to thrive and, you know, bookstores in general, but there needs to be a shakeup in Australia. As a reader, I was, just not being served by the market, and the import costs and everything were just crazy. So it's very exciting to see Amazon.com.au moving into physical product. I think it's going to be a tough time, but we are going to see more sales in Australia. We'll also be able to reach more people with our print books in Australia. Ingram Spark has printing in Australia, or Lightning Source. So you can, if you're on Ingram Spark, you can actually get distribution in Australia. So very exciting. And expect to see more print sales in Australia and hopefully more ebook sales as things shake down in the coming months. So on my personal update, very excitingly, I have the print proof of The Healthy Writer on my desk. And I love it. It's funny, isn't it? When a book sort of comes out, you feel I'm feeling very loving towards it right now. I'm like, oh, I love this book. It's amazing. It's like my best book. But I know I'll be onto the next book very soon, but I'm just like appreciating it right now. I'm feeling like, yay. So that will be on print pre-order hopefully soon, or it's all going to be out 28th of December, but it will definitely be out then. So in your haze of sugar rush after Christmas, you can be like, yay, I actually want to be a healthy writer for 2018, and you can pick up your copy. We also made a little video last weekend of me walking on the canal, and Jonathan's going to make a video of that, and me talking about how walking has helped my writing and my health. So that is going to be out at some point. And you and Dr. Ewan Lawson and I are very passionate about getting the word out about this book. So if you are a journalist or you know a journalist for a publication that would be, you know, potentially would be interested in this, or us as a story, my letter to sugar and how I gave up sugar, or walking, or we're very happy to give out review copies. If you have a radio show or a podcast which is, you know, health related or writing related, or you have a decent sized blog, it does need to be a decent size, sorry if you're just starting out, but I would really appreciate any referrals or suggestions of personal contacts that I can approach with our press release or ideas for a story. So please email me if that makes you sparks an idea, joanna@thecreativepen.com. And this is evergreen material, so please let me know any thoughts, even if it's not in December 2017, this book will be useful going forward. So yes, please email me if you know anyone or any show that might be interested. The Sweet Romance is also up in ebook and print, as well as our first box set. So I'm very excited about that. And Map of Shadows launches this week. So I've been saying the last couple of shows that I'm sort of in finishing energy for these three books, one each from each of my pen names. And I'm really pleased that they're almost all done, because I kind of feel like that means I can start 2018 with a clean slate and get going on the next lot. But I am also going to reveal the Sweet Romance author name next week because of the videos that we've been doing. So Jonathan and I have been working on moving our email list to ConvertKit, which we are already loving. I think it's brilliant. It simplifies things in one way, but is also flexible with tagging. I am an affiliate because it's awesome, and I'm really, it's one of those things, like I spent years on AWeber, which is still a great email system. It's just that we then moved to ActiveCampaign, which is much more kind of technical with tagging. But it's too technical, and I have found it very difficult. So we're moving to ConvertKit, and my affiliate link is thecreativepen.com/convert, ConvertERT, if you fancy checking it out. But I am recording videos at the moment on how to set up an author website, how to set up the Author Pro theme, and also how to set up your email list sign up. And they will be out in the next week. I'm just editing them, and they will be out, or I'll tell you about that next week. But basically, I looked at what a new author needs, and the example that I ended up wanting to use is the Sweet Romance, because let's face it, the Creative Pen has been going 9 years. You don't want to model that necessarily. JF Pen has been going, what, 7 years, 5 years, something like that, 5 years. And again, it's got a blog, it's pretty developed. But the Sweet Romance author is something that a new author could easily model. So I wanted to show you how to build a website like that, and I do. So next week I will be sharing the Sweet Romance author name and telling you about those videos. So I hope that's going to be useful. Okay, so thanks for all your emails and tweets and comments this week. Remember to let me know what you're doing while you're listening to the show. Tara Jade Brown says, listening to podcast number 349 for the third time. I really like that one, while making crepes. And that was the show with the bestseller experiment with Mark and Mark. So glad you enjoyed that. Alison Ingleby says, great episode. I have to agree with ML Buckman. It's important for all authors, even just so someone knows how to access your KDP dashboard. Thanks for that, Alison. And that was a comment on the estate planning that we did last week. Natasha Boyd says, really enjoyed this week's podcast with ML Buckman. So many useful gems. Jez De Silva sent me some pictures from driving through Kakadu in the Northern Territory, Australia. G'day, Joe, he says. Now, I have been to Kakadu in the Northern Territory. And in fact, if you ever go to Australia, The Northern Territory is the place, in my opinion. The Northern Territory is awesome. Western Australia as well, obviously, but the real Australia, I think, is up there. And I loved Kakadu. I actually camped there, and you have to camp like on top of, I think we camped on top of the jeeps because there's so many crocs. Ah, fun times. Pete Blythe, who's been listening to a lot of my shows. Hello, Pete. says on the estate planning, not the most cheerful subject. We all like to think we are immortal, but yet another interesting show. And he also says his dog is beginning to know me pretty well because he listens to the podcast. Thanks, Pete. Okay, just a couple more. Lisa M. Lilly. Hi, Lisa. Says listening to the show while finishing holiday decoration. Oh, John Howard, listening while visiting the Damien Hirst exhibition in Venice. Thanks for recommending it. Now, that is a hell of an exhibition. Probably the most memorable modern art exhibition in my lifetime so far. I loved it. I reported back on that in April when we went over to Venice. Okay, and yeah, there's so many interesting ones this week. Rob C. Wheelwork said, listening to this week's show while delivering puppies. Two out, more to go. Well, that's awesome, everyone. Thank you so much. I love to hear what you're doing while you're listening to the show and where you are in the world. So tweet me at The Creative Pen or email me joanna@thecreativepen.com. And also, thanks to everyone who said they loved the in-between-isode, a little surprise on your feed. And another one is dropping this week. And I'm going to keep them as a little surprise, as in it will just be on a random day. That's my little extra. So expect that this week. So today's show is sponsored by Ingram Spark, and they are all over this interview. And as you'll hear, I use Ingram Spark for my extended distribution. And in the last year, I've added paperbacks for all my books through Ingram Spark, as well as CreateSpace, as well as doing large print editions for the Sweet Romance and workbook editions for my nonfiction. They also do hardbacks, which I'm looking at for next year. And they also have fantastic help. And I've just found their help to be very responsive when I have a problem. I just email them and they get back to me and sort things. So when I wanted to get the print pre-order through for Map of Shadows, I emailed them and they pushed it through. So very excited about that. And it's your content. So do more with it through ingramspark.com. Right, thanks to new patrons, Jennifer Barnes, Susan Agee or AG, Camille Loftus, Melissa Hartfell, and Roz Craig. And thanks to Ashley Person and Erica Lindquist for increasing their pledge. I really do appreciate the support on Patreon. Like your tweets and emails, it demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue. And on Patreon, you can support me with just a few dollars, less than a coffee a month or a coffee or two a month, if you fancy. And you'll get the extra monthly Q&A audio. So get your questions in if you're a Patreon supporter, and that should be coming up next week as well. You can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get on with the interview. Today I'm here with Andrew Bromley. Hi, Andy.
Oh, hi, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just a little introduction. Andy is the marketing manager at Ingram Content Group in the UK. He's also part of Ingram Spark and helps indie authors get their print books out through the Ingram network, which is super exciting. So, Andy, let's start with the basics. What is Ingram as a company, as a whole, and how do publishers use it? And what is Ingram Spark? So give us just a general overview.
Yeah, so very simply, Ingram is a wholesaler. So it started out in the 1960s as a wholesaler. So they bought books from publishers and they sold them to bookstores. Because typically, a bookstore wants a relationship with one or two people. They don't want relationships with every single individual publisher. And that's really how the business started in the 60s. And it's built up ever since then. So the two main services or publisher services that connect to Ingram Spark is one called Lightning Source. And that's a print-on-demand distribution engine for publishers. So it allows publishers to upload their files and have them distributed through the wholesale network that Ingram have. And then print them as many or as little as they require. So they can print, 5, 10, 15 copies or 100 copies, or they can just not print any copies and have them in the distribution channel, and then Ingram will print the books to order as orders come in, and then the publisher receives their publisher compensation. It's just that rather than the book being in a physical warehouse waiting on a shelf, it's in a computer waiting for an order to come in through Ingram Wholesale. And then the other part that is connected to Ingram Spark and is familiar with the publishers is a product called CoreSource, which in essence is a digital asset management solution. So very, very large publishers, HarperCollins, some of the very big names that your listeners will be familiar with, will use a platform like CoreSource to store all their digital assets. And that could be an audio file, an e-file, a print file. It could be a contract. Anything that's an asset that relates to a product or a book or a component of a book, CoreSource provides. And essentially, Ingram Spark use that engine, that core engine, to distribute ebooks. So in essence, Ingram Spark is a platform for individual authors that piggybacks on existing technology that services the large publishing community. So for print on demand, it piggybacks on Lightning Source, which is used by some very large, you know, publishers. And for the digital distribution, for the ebook distribution, it's using CoreSource, essentially the engine of CoreSource, to allow it to distribute both print and ebooks.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And like you said, so Ingram Spark, for people listening, is like a front end that indie authors can use, and we can access the same tools that big publishers use. It just gives us an easier front end, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that we really try and make it clear when we do Ingram Days and we visit, and authors visit us at trade shows, is essentially the engine and the metadata, the feeds that go out to the publishing community, doesn't differentiate between an Ingram Spark account and some of the big accounts that that your readers will be listeners will be familiar with. So yeah, it doesn't treat it in any way differently. It's distributed in exactly the same way.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, you mentioned there, like, it's stored on a computer and then they're printed on demand. And I know a lot of listeners will understand print on demand, but I came to one of your people can visit the plant, and I visited and it was super cool. So I wonder if you could just explain you're actually at the factory right now. Just explain a bit about, you know, what it is like down there and the technology you have and how fast things are, so people get an idea of what print on demand is these days.
Yeah, so right now we're really at peak capacity. This is one of our busiest times of the year. We've got academic publishers using the services for BATS universities, and we've also got authors and other publishers using it for ready for the Christmas kind of rush. So we're really at kind of, you know, maxing out our full capacity in our UK office right now. And essentially what it enables customers to do is have the book in the system. So it's an electronic, it's a physical, think of the physical book, an electronic version. All the information that's needed to print the book is in our system. And then the metadata, the information, the bibliographic information that goes out to the wholesale distribution community, so retailers such as Amazon and Waterstones and all the chains, can find the content. And then when orders come in, they place orders and we print them to order. So there's two primary ways that that keep our kind of printers busy. There's that model where essentially it's called the channel model, where the book is effectively in the channel. So we have 39,000 retailers, libraries, and we also connect with other wholesalers. That's the bit that people sometimes get confused with, is that we trade with our competitors, because no one really knows and can guarantee that the bookstore may not order from Ingram, they may order from Gardner's or another wholesaler, but we trade with those other wholesalers too, and they trade with us. So essentially, whether the bookstore has a direct relationship with Ingram or an indirect relationship through another wholesaler, they can order the book, and that's the channel model. And then the other model is how normal commercial printers work. People place orders, and they get the books sent to where they instruct that to be. So it could be, you know, Cambridge University Press may order 100 copies for their warehouse to keep their inventory levels low. Or it could be a self-publisher has got an event coming up and they're doing some talks, or they want some proof copies or advances, and they would ask to have it sent back to their home address. Mm. So Yeah, so there's two models. There's the publisher direct, i.e. the publisher's ordering books directly from us, and there's the channel model, where really we're only printing them when orders come in. So from an individual author's perspective, the days have gone where you need to order 5,000, 10,000 books and have them stocked up in your spare bedroom, because effectively you can have the books in the system and we fulfill orders on demand as required.
Yeah. So just be more specific there. So how fast can, you know, when an order is put in, how fast does that come through? Because when I came on the tour with you, you know, we saw the covers being printed, the internal, all the machines kind of feed everything through. And it's pretty blooming fast, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. So we operate, in most cases, paperbacks are printed within 24 hours. We make sure that they're printed in 48 hours. So when the orders come in, the job of our operations director and operation manager is to get through that build-up as quickly as possible. So right now, our machines are running 24/7. So they really are not switching off now until maybe Christmas Day. I mean, that's how busy it is. So they're running all weekend, they're running through the night. We have different shifts that come in, a night shift, a day shift. And really the primary, the thing that's keeping our operations director awake at night is making sure that they can meet the demands that are coming in. Because the beauty and the challenge of the model is that orders come in as required by the market. So you can have a period where we're relatively quiet because it could be a low season, or you can get to a period right now, for example, where we're really at maximum, you know, not maximum capacity, but we're getting close to maximum capacity, where the machines, all the terminals are switched on, printing the books. So essentially what's happening is when the orders come in, the system will identify all the trim sizes and print them in order of when they came in. So you think about a 5x8 book. Rather than printing each individual 5x8 book, which would take years, the software, the system will identify, okay, we've got 5,000 5x8 paperbacks on a matte finish. And those may be 5,000 individual books, but from a production and operations perspective, it doesn't really matter. They're all on the same paper. They're all on the same trim size and they're all on the same stock. So whether it's 5,000 individual orders or 5,000 single order, from an actual printing perspective, it's more difficult when you actually come to shipping, but from a printing perspective, it makes no difference. Mm. So, people often, when we have the Ingram days and we go to things like London Book Fair, people are perplexed about how we can possibly print just a single copy and make it affordable. And really it's the batch processing, it's the way that our inventory management and software system works that enables us to do that, because there's an economy of scale building up. But that also explains why, I mean, there's lots and lots of choice with print for the print on demand environment, but it's somewhat more limited than a traditional offset print run. So if you were going to a printer and saying, I want 10,000 or 5,000 copies of this book, you can pick the blend of paper, the different types of, you know, finish. And there are limitations to print on demand. It is becoming less and less so as the technology improves and the capabilities become, more sophisticated. But there is a compromise on the range, even though it's quite broad, and that's to accommodate this kind of production process that's going on, which really works on a very large economy of scale operation.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. And I definitely, when we came earlier this year, Jonathan and I, to visit, that really helped me kind of visualize why print can be such a great product. And now I'm doing, you know, 5x8, I'm doing large print, I'm thinking of doing hardbacks. So people, you know, I'm doing workbooks, all because I saw what was capable with print. So it's very cool. Now, one question that everybody has is, why not just use CreateSpace? Why use the Alliance of Independent Authors, which you're a partner member, recommends CreateSpace for Amazon and then Ingram Spark for extended distribution. So can you explain why that is the best way potentially of doing things? Or I guess you'd say all Ingram, but what are the benefits there?
Yeah, so the train of thought and the recommendation from Ally is to have both. And I think the main reason for that is with CreateSpace is to get the maximum visibility on Amazon. So Amazon is a fantastic company. Of course, many authors have been able to make a living because of what Amazon do, and they are fantastic at what they do. But what Amazon aren't, they're not a wholesaler. You know, what they're perfect at actually selling and distribution on their own platform. And then the extended distribution functionality within CreateSpace enables you to sell outside the Amazon firewall. But Amazon don't provide that. They provide that to a wholesaler like Ingram, for example. So what we do in that situation is we provide that service for those customers. Now, the advantage of going directly is you get the full breadth of the distribution. So, for example, in Lightning Source today, we've got locations in the UK where I'm from. We've got them in Melbourne, in Australia, and we've got multiple locations in the US. In addition to that, we also have Global Connect partners in other countries like Germany, like India, for example. We have one in South Korea and China and many, many others. And by coming direct, you have the ability to switch on all that distribution. So, for example, if you were in Ingram Spark and a customer in Sydney were to buy your book, clearly, we wouldn't print it in Milton Keynes or in America. We'd print it in Melbourne. But when you come through a third party, when you're using their enhanced distribution setup, it's limited to the agreement with that wholesaler. So, for example, at the moment, extended distribution titles within CreateSpace are printed in the US. Mm. And in many cases, the distribution limitation isn't just your ability to get the book from one end of the world to the other. Mm. It's the time and it's the cost of supplying it. So we know, for example, in Australia, historically books have been more expensive because they've had to import them in from the US or from Europe. So we're quite excited that next year we're going to launch a new service where booksellers can order directly from the facility in Melbourne in our Lightning Source facility, which would include all the Ingram Spark titles. Yeah. So it's just another. So the main advantages would be that they get the books a lot faster because we print it from a location that's nearest to where the customer is, and in most cases we get it to the. It's more cost effective from the end retailer's perspective. So, for example, we launched a service this year called iPage in the UK, which was where retailers can order directly from our facility in Milton Keynes. And we offer the retailer free shipping on one copy. So it could be the cheapest book in our system. It could be in the Highlands of Scotland, but it's free freight from a retailer's perspective. And that's really attractive in a POD environment because in most cases, it's not going to be a bookstore wanting to order 50 copies ready for when the books, you know, the first week of the book's available. Mm. It's going to be fulfilling orders as demand requires it. And that's why we're quite excited that we're having more direct relationships with booksellers so we can supply directly and give them the advantages of going direct to Ingram.
And what I love about this, and I think is really important for authors to hear, is you're actually thinking of the bookseller's point of view. And I think that authors forget the bookseller a lot of the time. Like someone with a bookstore is often someone who doesn't, as you said at the beginning, does not want to deal with 200 indie authors coming around the shop and going, here, have my book. That's not how booksellers work. And also that bookseller probably will have something against Amazon, so might not want to order from CreateSpace. And this is something, again, that's really important. Whereas if they order from Ingram, they order through the catalogs they're used to, and they can see that it's, you know, it's not Amazon, basically. So I think that's important too, isn't it? Is considering that bookseller's point of view.
Yeah, and we always say that if you are, one of the things we always encourage authors to do is own their own ISBNs and be the publisher of their own content. Like a recording artist might record on their own label, but it's an independent label. We encourage any author who really takes that seriously to do the same, to own the entire intellectual property of their content and that extend into the ISBN. You know, they can give themselves a publishing label that can be different and distinctive to their name. And so we have many authors who succeed in that journey, and then they become themselves micro publishers. They take on other authors that they know or they respect their work, And in some cases, they create, you know, mini collectives where they become, you know, independent publishers all collectively operating under the same imprint.
Mm. Yeah, which is fantastic. And I started Curl Up Press earlier this year again when I came to Ingram, and very pleased about that. So I do want to ask you, just you mentioned Australia and America. Is there, I mean, you mentioned India, but it's really the printing in India right now that would be of benefit, because, you know, it's expensive. Our books are currently expensive on Amazon.in and locally. Is there, you know, I know you can't talk about business, but you've got a distributor there, right? But not a printer. So what about cheaper printing in China and India? Is that something that you might see on the horizon?
Yeah, so we work with a company called RepPro in India, and they are actually a printer and a distributor. They are very similar to what Ingram is in India. Now, there are a couple of things. So we mentioned earlier the model called Global Connect. And what that enables you to do as a author and a publisher is it enables you to select Global Connect partners. So you can select India as a Global Connect location. And you need to price your book. These are all done in US dollars. So you price your book in US dollars. You tell Ingram what your discount would, you're prepared to give away as a wholesale discount. And it works in exactly the same way. So RepPro would then, in this case, RepPro is the company. Different Global Connect partners have different companies. They would then supply the metadata through their channels, so local retailers can order the books. And it works in the same channel model that Ingram work in the UK and in Australia and in the US. The only difference is that the third party, in this case RepPro, under the Global Connect agreement, is providing the information out and is ultimately the company that's going to be printing the books. Now, what's often asked of us, and it's been explored at the moment, is whether authors and publishers can order small print runs. So they can order, I don't know, 25 or 50 copies and tell the Global Connect partner to send them to a location of their choice. That's not something that's currently available, but that's something we're exploring with our key Global Connect partners. And India is one of our most, it's one of our newest, but it's actually one of our most successful and Global Connect partnerships, because of the English language, and also we are very strong in education and academic content, and that type of content really goes well in India, as well as our independently self-published content. Obviously, the challenge in India is obviously the retail price. Many of the books in India that are produced and printed locally can be very cheap, so there needs to be a real clear point of differentiation in terms of what you're offering the Indian market, if that is, you know, a core part of your strategy.
Mm. And just to be clear, because I use Ingram Spark, obviously, and I've printed, you can, as an author, you can print whole boxes of books. Like there's a, you know, it says how many fit in a box, right? And then you can get those shipped. So when I was, you know, coming from Britain, speaking in Australia, I printed a whole box and within Australia and sent it within Australia to another place. And then I picked it up when I went to speak. And that was awesome because it was actually really cheap. I think it ended up being about $2 a copy and with shipping within Australia. So an author can do that. What you said wasn't possible was a kind of, you know, printing, yeah, a wholesaler printing or something like that. It just sounded like it wasn't possible for an author to do that, but it is possible to print whole boxes, isn't it?
Oh yeah, sorry. So with the Global Connect model, what we're doing is it's so going back to the Lightning Source explanation. There's a channel model where we make the books available in the market, and that's the model that Global Connect is. So basically, by switching on Global Connect India, for example, and pricing your books in US dollars, You're saying to the Global Connect partner, in this example, RepPro, this is the cost of the book, this is the discount prepared to provide, and they make that title available to the local resellers in that market. So it could be a bookstore, it could be an online account. And then when they get orders, they will then print them on demand, send it to the customer, and then compensate you, the author, in the normal way. What you can't do currently with this model, which is what we're exploring, is you can't then say, okay, I know we've got a Global Connect partner in India or Germany or South Korea. Actually, what I want is 25 copies sent into the next town because I've got a book signing. Yeah. That's that we can't currently facilitate with the Global Connect relationship, but it's something that we're looking into and hope to be able to offer something soon, because we know that that is something that a lot of our publishers and author publishers are requesting. But at the moment, Global Connect really should be seen as an extension of Ingram's distribution. It's a way of getting it to books that even Ingram don't have strong penetration in that particular market. Or it could be that Ingram does have penetration in that market, but there's a local supplier that has a stronger relationship. So Germany, for example, we Ingram can provide books into Germany, not a problem, but there are other local print on demand and distribution networks that is more within the retail network. So one of the things that we do is partner with a Global Connect partner in Germany for that particular region. In the same in Poland, India, as I was explaining, in South Korea, it's really an extension of Ingram's distribution reach. It's a way of getting into markets without the huge capital expenditure it would be to kind of enter into India as an Ingram company. We'll do a somebody who's already established in the market and who already has those relationships in place.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then I guess last question. It's amazing to be available to 39,000, partners and bookstores and universities and all these things. But obviously, they are not sitting there in the bookstore. These people have to order them. And this is probably one of the hardest things with print on demand. It's like, yes, sure, you can order these things, but how do you know they exist? So have you found any great ways for authors, particularly to market print books? Or from what you've learned from your most successful indie author, Ingram Spark customers, what are the things that work?
Yeah, so you'd be pleased to know we often recommend you as a reference point in terms of how to yourself as an author, and we also encourage authors to join a reputable organisation like the Alliance of Independent Authors. The truth is, there is no single answer, as you'll know, but we do find examples of authors that have done it in a very innovative way. So we had an author, for example, I'm just thinking of some examples who I know have done really well in terms of marketing. So one of the authors did a poetry book, and historically, or certainly in commercial publishing, poetry is very difficult as a commercial subject. And what they did is they used social media where they gave out their poems on Instagram. The poems were free to read, but also they had a backlink on where you could purchase the book. And because of the very nature of these books, these poems were very, very relatable about love and death and areas that most people have some kind of connection in their life. And obviously it was a very well-written poet. There were very well-written poems. This individual became known as the poet on Instagram. And he got fans that were following him, sharing his work, posting it, because effectively he was giving away his poems for free, which would sound counter, a commercial publisher probably wouldn't naturally think about giving away their content in order to, grow this readership. And it was extremely successful, because once somebody was hooked in and they read one or two or three of his poems for free, they were willing to pay the $10 or the $15 to buy the book and read the rest of the poems. Mm. We had an author in the UK who wrote the book like erotica, and her son was very, very good at social media, very savvy, and they had a model where they put aside a percentage of all the money they made from selling the books and the startup money on Facebook adverts, and they would follow other books that like 50 Shades and that kind of model, knowing this was the kind of reader that would want to buy the book, and there were tremendously successful printing thousands and selling thousands of thousands of books, because that particular genre worked really well in on this particular example on Facebook adverts. There'll be other types of genres that wouldn't support that model, as you know, but these are the ones that stand out, the ones that it's no differently to the general commercial publishing. The authors that are really successful tend to be the ones that are very savvy, very good at the marketing, who will who's not afraid to try different things and even give away some content to get the readers involved and share content in different ways in YouTube and using different medias to kind of reach out to their readers. And they understand who their demographic is. Mm. It's a very clear distinction between that type of author who has written the book, but they know it's only really the beginning of the journey, where the other type of authors who tend to be less successful are the ones that may produce a fantastic book, but they don't either have the time, energy, or desire to follow through on the marketing. And that's where we're seeing, and that's where we're very clear when we do, you know, Ingram Days and we attend these events. We make it very clear there's a distinction between distribution, i.e. the ability to order the book, and the marketing, which is the lighthouse signal to say this is the book for you. And I think certainly with some authors early on, there can be a clear confusion between what distribution is and what marketing actually does. So, you know, for example, we had an author, or actually this was a publisher, who switched on their pricing in Australian dollars. And then 2 months later, they said, well, can you explain to me why we've not sold any books in Australia? We priced our books in Australian dollars, as you suggested. And our response was, what have you done marketing-wise in that market? And they hadn't done anything differently, and therefore they didn't get the results. So, you know, there is that connection between distribution, having the ability to do the action, and the marketing, which is the driver of that inevitable exchange, which the distribution facilitates.
No, that's a fantastic explanation. And what I like about the Ingram Spark model is it gives us, when we do our marketing, and as you've said, I don't think the marketing differs depending necessarily on the format of the book. So you can market the book, and it might be an ebook, print, and audiobook. And like you say, but what it means is it's available for people to order in these different places and in print and in these different print formats. So that's very cool. So I wanted to also ask, if an author is listening and they have a number of books, so say they have 10 books, or, you know, you've met some of these authors who have lots of books, and maybe they've, or like me, when I came to Ingram earlier this year, I think I had like 20 books or something. If authors have bulk books to move over, is there a, you know, help available from the support team, or, you know, what would be the process for people if they want to do that?
Yeah, so absolutely. It's something we get asked a lot of. We do have support team involved that can help in terms of bulk, multiple different sets of books, to get them into Ingram Spark. Depending on how the books have been set up, there are sometimes it's very easy. So, for example, if it's on a platform that already uses our services at the back end, it's very easy because the trim sizes don't need to change in most cases. Mm. Right through to, you know, for example, when we first started doing POD, we had one of the biggest clients was Cambridge University Press, and they had 200,000 books that was written in the last century before digital existed. You know, obviously a more complex operation, but it's still possible because we can now digitally print old books without damaging them. You know, it wasn't available 10 years ago. So I'm sure most of the authors don't have their books set up not in the pre-digital world. But if there is such an example, there is a solution. But in most cases, it's fairly straightforward.
Yeah. So in most cases, where would people find Ingram Spark online?
So literally, if they just put in the usual search browser, Ingram Spark, it will come up, and register all their information online. They can register an account before the book's ready, and then there's lots of information and advice on how to get the book set up in a print ready format. But one of the things that I guess authors would need to be aware of is, you know, Ingram Spark really is a gateway into Ingram. So one of the things we've not got lots of support available today, although we can recommend people, is the book needs to be in a print-ready format. The author needs to have the ISBN ready to upload. You know, we're not a author services company, and that's sometimes a distinction between what we provide and what other companies provide. You know, there are many businesses out there that don't make the money from printing the book or distributing the book. They actually make it from adding on lots of different services, like the setup fee, and setting up the book, the proofreading, the cover design, the sourcing the ISBN. We expect authors to have that in place, and that's why we always recommend, I always recommend the Alliance of Independent Authors, because they help the new author or the new authors coming in, educating them on what their responsibilities are in terms of making the book the best possible book available. You know, Joanna, you do a fantastic job in explaining the responsibilities and the best ways to market and get the book out and really grab the attention of the reader. And then our role is the distribution. And we see, we don't, even though people associate us as printers, we don't see ourselves as printers. We see printing as one way of distributing the content. So with Ingram Spark, you can have the book as an ebook and a print book. And hopefully one day we'll also be supporting things like audiobooks. It's just another way of getting the content out to the reader. So we always encourage wherever we can that authors have the book in as many formats as possible, just because you don't know whether your reader doesn't read in ebook or they don't read print books. And therefore having it as many formats as possible provides you the opportunity to provide it in the way that the customer, the end reader wants to ingest your content. Amazon is a fantastic platform. I spend lots of money on Amazon, but there are some people that don't, for whatever reason, and it could be in countries where Amazon actually aren't very strong and don't have a market leading position. And therefore having your book on Kobo and having it on other platforms and in other retailers is important as a distribution arm, because although we know certain retailers are very strong in the UK and very strong in the US, that may not be the same in Latin America. It may not be the same in a market where another retailer is actually the number one player. So that's important if you think about it from a global, perspective.
Yeah, fantastic. So thanks so much for your time today, Andy. That was brilliant.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. And after that great interview with Andy, I'm now here with Ruth Jones. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
I'm good. Just a little introduction. Ruth is the Director of Business Development at Ingram Content Group. And today we're talking about Aereo, an exciting new development for authors. So, Ruth, tell us, what is Aereo and why should indie authors care about it?
Well, so I think the reason that anyone would want to care about Aereo is that it's a really great tool for selling books. And when an indie author gets engaged, they're really in control of their own marketing. So Aereo has two sides to it. The first side is a suite of marketing tools that creates widgets, samples, an ability to push your samples out to social media and to direct your customers back to stores, which could be any number of stores that you define. And for you also then to engage or use those samples to capture emails. So that's really important, right? Because getting to know your authorship, your readership as an author, and really starting to capture those emails means you can start a line of communication that builds your brand. So that's the first thing. And that is a paid for service. It starts at $25 a month or $250 a year. For an indie publisher, it's going to be easily enough, because that allows you to load up to 20 ebooks. So I assume that's going to be enough for starters. But it's really good because you start to see the analytics of, okay, when I start to post this sample of my book with some narrative onto Facebook, where I already have a good following, where do they go? Do they go and buy? Can I get them hooked in the next in a series, in a sample, and I can set a deadline, a place within that book and say, okay, if you want to read more, give me your email. Mm. You can decide to do that or not. You can decide how much friction you want in that relationship. So it gives a really good opportunity, I think, for the indie authors to really start to engage beyond broadcasting, which is great, but starting to see what is the result of my engagement. So that's the first thing. And it's all very well laid out on the Aereo site. And literally anyone can use that service. The second part is really for those indie authors who are wanting to sell into the US market. Right now, this is North America only e-commerce. But think of it this way. If your print book is available through Ingram, and a lot of print books are, most print books are in some shape or form, then you can literally, for free, log on, create a store, and sell your books, books by other people, create a reader, and you literally have a bookstore in 3 minutes. I've shown so many people how to do this. And you can do the same thing here. You can start to tweet, to push onto Facebook, to push out to Pinterest and create a Pinterest page of books I really like. So people can start to engage with you. They don't have to be your own books. And you can start to sell those books and you'll take a margin. What's happening there is we've got this really cool software that's allowing you as an ebook reader, as an ebook or p-retailer, to be able to pull Ingram's catalog. And you can create your own metadata as well. So, I mean, I've done some jokey things on my site for demonstrations. But, you know, if you really admired, I don't know, Jan Martel, and who wouldn't, then put why you care about that book. That's on your site. You can still push that widget out with social media. And you could be selling that book, delivering direct from Ingram into the your reader's front door, if you like, same delivery mechanism everyone uses within the US. Yes, you'll make a margin, but it's an opportunity also to start to gather the emails. And so I think what you'll see there is there's a real suite of products here that for indie authors or indeed for publishers with multiple authors, you can really start to communicate about books, what you're reading, and really direct people to your site, which is the area site, as I say, North America. Or indeed, you could point people to, in the UK, you can hear from my accent, Waterstones, to Amazon. If it's eBooks only, it's Kobo. We're not trying to completely disrupt the eco chain. Mm. But what we're trying to do is to give you some insight and some opportunities to really hold on to the relationships you can build with your readers.
Wow. Okay. There's so much I want to ask you about that. There were way too many things there. Okay, I want to let's start with the second thing and circle back to the first thing. So, because sure. The second thing is all I knew there was. I didn't know about the first thing. Now I know about the second thing. So the second thing, from what I understand, so an author can, say, have a page on their website, like I might have Books for Writers, and as well as having links to my books and samples of my books that print books or ebooks or whatever, but where I can sell, let's just stick with print because I think that's Ingram's kind of point of difference. So yeah. I can sell those. I can also sell other people's books and yes. act as like a bookseller, and I can yes. get paid a percentage from that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's just awesome. I hope everyone's kind of let that sink in, because that means that we're all of us are readers and we're always recommending books all the time. So I think this is brilliant. It's another revenue stream. So you said selling into the US. Does that mean an author outside the US can still use Aereo, or do you have to be based in?
Absolutely. As long as your book has rights to be sold in the US, and it's in the Ingram catalogue, and any Spark author's books will naturally be there, or any publisher who works with Ingram for print on demand. And you can easily look up the books on the site, and there's plenty of information in the site about how to do that. You can curate your collection. You can create collections. So you might say, I really love books about, I don't know, fantasy fiction. So you could do that. Or you could say, actually, I'm just really interested in cookery books. So you could just as easily do that. And yes, you're right. And so if you think of this, anyone can sell a book anywhere in North America. That's my bracket. Mm. Give us a moment to go international. But if you think about it, if you're a US-based author and your primary authorship readership is US, and that's it's the world's largest book market after all, what a great place to start. But it doesn't preclude somebody writing in the UK whose books are available to really use it to market to a US market. Mm-hmm. And you can easily, with your own books, then say, I love these books, etc. And if you're outside North America, hey, here are some great bookstores that stock this book. You can use the marketing widget that you create for your book, or indeed you can create for any. But if you use the marketing widget, the bit you didn't know about, then you can use that to start to point people elsewhere and use that for engagement outside. So, yeah, there are two sides. And I'm really excited about the first one, the anyone can sell a book anywhere. I see that as completely disruptive technology. So we're ramping up right now. But a lot of people, to your point, you've got your own site, you have your own e-commerce, right? So if you were to use Aereo for marketing, you could use that globally and just have all of your widgets point back to your site and maybe one other bookstore that you like particularly. That would be fine. Or you can have many more, but you know, that's up to you. What we've seen with some very, very large publishers, some of the largest trade publishers, is that they do want to point to their own site, but they want to see what consumers do. Do they always go to Amazon? Do they go to Barnes & Noble in the States? Do they go to Waterstones? Do they go to whoever else? And because that you can configure the buttons, you can see that. But yeah, in the first piece, anyone can sell a book. If your book's in the Ingram catalogue, there's 14 million. I'm sure you'll find something you like. But you can really use that tool and embed that in your website. We've seen authors do it themselves without telling the publishers. That's always great. So, hey, we couldn't help but see your fitness site and you've taken the widget and dropped it in your blog and done other things. And like, yeah, yeah. And the publisher said, what? What do you mean this is? And, of course, the public, from a point of view of the transaction, it's just as if Ingram sold the book to a standard independent bookstore, to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble. There is no difference.
Mm.
And you're getting the margin.
Yeah, and I think this is so important because, you know, it is, we are shifting to a direct-to-consumer kind of approach, and it's great that Ingram's recognising that, you know, in some of these technologies. So just to be clear, the marketing tool is available to anyone, and you don't need to have your books on Ingram Spark, so anyone can do that?
Absolutely, and that's chargeable.
Right, and then Aereo for the print, for the sell any book type of thing,
Aereo Book Network, yes.
Okay, does that have a charge?
No.
No, and that is for selling into the US only?
Correct, right now, yes.
Yeah, so just, we haven't really said how Aereo is spelt, or, you know, because it's spelled funny, isn't it? So just tell us where people can find it.
The technical term, so it's spelled A-E-R-I-O. And the website is www.aer.io.
Ah, yes, that's one of those new suffixes that has appeared.
It is. It's obviously very trendy. It's way beyond my pay grade to know why that's trendy. Happy days.
Happy days, exactly. No, that's very cool. You also mentioned that you have a demo. Is that available at that site so people can have a look?
Yes, if you go to that site, there's lots of videos. There's lots of really good social content there talking about how to promote your books, what to do. I was just looking at just now. You know, there's a lot of material there that I think would be useful, even if you didn't use Aereo, if I'm honest. We've really focused on trying to give as much assistance as possible, walk through demos. I very rarely find people who can't use the site. I mostly find when I set up sites, if I'm talking to people and say, well, I've created your site now while we were talking, they're quite scared. But I think, you know, the lots of micro sites for the individual really make sense. And we have seen, particularly for well-known independent authors who do have a following, you know, the type of author that may have a radio program, may have other things that they do, and then they produce a book, that this works brilliantly. The combination of social selling and Ingram's infrastructure, it's really very powerful.
Yeah, it's such an exciting time. So is there anything else that authors need to know about Aereo, or should just people go check it out?
I think go check it out. I've probably talked far too much about it. I get way over enthusiastic and start saying, you could do everything. The thing here is, if you take control of how you communicate and how you build an audience, it's really daunting. I know that. But that is one of the most powerful ways to get people to gather around what you're trying to say in your book, no matter what kind of book it is. And I think once you start small, you start to see the ripple effect of what you're able to do. And it's something that being agile and independent indie authors are in a really good position to take hold of this technology.
Mm. Well, thanks for your time, Ruth. That was great.
My pleasure. I hope that was helpful.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Andy and Ruth from Ingram Spark and Aereo, and I hope it gave you some ideas for print distribution in the months ahead. I certainly think that opportunities are only going to grow, and if your book is available in all formats globally, then slowly it will start to sell that way as well. So coming up next week, I have an interview on how to make money writing short fiction with Doug Smith, who is an award-winning short story writer, and this is something I'm very excited about for 2018. Plus, the in-betweenisode coming up as a surprise one day this week, and tune in next week to find out what my sweet romance pen name is. So happy writing week, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.